All right, we're talking on the subject of the whole teaching is called Possessing Our Inheritance. And now we're in this subtopic area called Receiving Our Inheritance. Receiving Our Inheritance. All right, now, let me read the scriptures. It's Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but to the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That before him, you can put in your Bible, like him. Who is God. All right. Last time we were talking about the church and that the church is the most powerful institution in the world, what?
Ever.
Joel chapter 2 will tell you that in chapter 2, maybe verses 1 through 8 or so, it tells you about that there was none like the church before it came and there'll be none like it after it leaves. That this church is seemingly something that is raised up for this hour, the church age. We go from this age into the next age, which is a kingdom age. Now, in this, the church being the most powerful, we shouldn't just be coming to church, going through the motions. That really we should be getting results in our lives. We shouldn't be, in this world with the same problems, habits, so forth and so on this year as we had last year. There should be something that should be dynamic, something should be changing in our lives. Now, when God made Adam, he made mankind a duplicate of himself. Mankind is not in the animal class. He didn't come from a rhesus monkey. A man is in the God class. He came from God. He was born by the seed of the Word of God. And you and I are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And this whole idea about ordained, God has a pre-arranged, pre-planned path for us to walk in. And you and I are going to have to walk in that path if we're going to experience the best of God. And so God has already worked it out for us. You don't have to work it out. It's already been worked out. And as you know, life itself is just a series of discoveries. So now, when we're talking about being in God's class, that means that we are really royalty. We are rulers in this earth. We have a nature of God, a nature of righteousness. That also we were creative beings, meaning that when we were created creative. In other words, we have been authorized by God to create. Now, all of this is within the scope of God himself. Also, we can think like God. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways in your ways, and my thoughts in your thoughts. As the rain cometh down from heaven, and the snow, and falleth through the earth, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now his word is sent to prosper. So you and I should be getting manifestations as a result of us hearing the Word of God. Say amen to this. And so what is happening is many times people are coming to church and going through the motions, but nothing really is changing. And what we said is that we came to the conclusion that a lot of God's people are not growing up. In other words, we've been born again, but a lot of God's people are still babies. And in that kind of configuration, if you will, they cannot do much to affect the advancement of the kingdom of God in the earth. So in general, if the church has failed to grow up, then there's a lot of things that God wants to do for and to the church that he's not able to do, because there is an inheritance for us, but it will not be delivered to us beyond our level of growth. And so we began to start looking at that. And we looked at, come on over there with me. We looked at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I'm asking you to turn quickly or either look on the board, because you slept all morning and just came in here. But some of us been in here since 4 days. No, we've been in here very early in the morning. All right, look what it says here in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Let me read that out of the Amplified translation. Now, what I mean is this, is that as long as the inheritor, heir, is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate. So it's saying that there are some things that will not be delivered unto this heir or this person who actually inherits some stuff beyond some things, beyond their development. And how many of you know there are still some people in your life that you won't give your car keys to right now? Okay. They might be old, but they're old baby, and they're not mature. They're not responsible. They won't take care of things. You better hear what I'm saying. Is this the right bunch I'm preaching to, first of all? All right? So I'm just saying that's what can be happening in your life and in somebody's life. So the spirit part of you is on the inside. That's the invisible. The physical part of you is on the outside, and they're connected together to something called the soul, or the mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination. So now, in that configuration, your spirit can grow. In other words, I remember when I was growing up, there was a boy who was 12 years old. I shouldn't call him a boy, young man, 12 years old, and I'm telling you, he could preach like a house of fire. And he had been in the Word and studied the Word, and his parents had fed him the Word and so forth. Well, his spirit was bigger than his body. You follow what I'm saying? And the same thing can happen in reverse. You can have a 40-year-old with a little baby spirit. And the thing of it is you've got to develop that. A lot of times we take care of the outside and we leave the inside alone. And we have all kinds of things for developing the outside, from health clubs to book clubs and all this kind of stuff. Well, what about your spirit? That needs developing too, because in the long run, that's what you're going to have to stay with for all the rest of eternity, your spirit. So it needs some tending to, it needs some care, and it needs some things. So we want to make sure that we grow up. So I looked at that, and here, basically, he said in verse 2, but is under tutors and governors under the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now that word sons there, not really talking about your gender. It's talking about your development. And it's talking about, and I could put my own words in there, might receive full rights as offspring, as those who were children. So when that, we talked about last week, when there is a ceremony where you have a coming out of one who was being tutored. So as a person in a royal family gets born, they assign a tutor to them. And that tutor begins to teach them how to walk, talk, sit, how to eat, how to carry themselves, a whole deportment of a royal family. And then as they do that and they get of certain age, now they're responsible for things and certain things can be turned over to them. So that's the idea. Well, us, it's kind of the same way, that we're now growing up, and the one who's tutoring us is the Holy Ghost. Now, understand, he uses the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher, and he uses people around you and so forth, and the Word of God is the primary tool. But he uses these things to grow you up, and you get grown up. And as you develop and start being grown up, God then has it at a time where they have a ceremony. And the ceremony is where they take off one jacket or one coat, which they had as a child, and they were taught by a tutor called, we called in the Greek, a pedagogue, and taught with that tutor, and that tutor will tutor them into things, and once their behavior or once their maturity has gotten to a certain point, they have a ceremony. And I think in the Jewish culture, it's a bar mitzvah, or in the black community, it's debutante, you know, a lot of things. But we have it so around 14 years of age, people come out. People begin to take on manly or womanly or adult responsibilities. So now, in the kingdom, the same thing happens in the family of God, is that the Holy Spirit is a tutor. Now, he tutors us up to a certain point where we now can take off one coat and put on a full coat. And if you see where the prodigal son got away from his dad, went out there, spent all his money on riotous living, went broke, so forth, and he said, I'm going home. Well, when he came home, one of the first things the dad did was gave him a what? He gave him a coat. He put a ring on his finger, which means a rulership, and he put shoes on his feet, meaning having land. So as he did these things, now the son was now fully vested. He now can take the responsibilities now of an adult. Now the other son was in the field, and the other son heard music and dancing, and he said, what's going on in there? Well, one of the servants said, well, that's your father, and your father has received your brother safe and sound and has given him a party. Well, he went all to pieces. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, and the father came out to entreat him to bring him in to take part in it. Oh, no. I have worked for you all these years. I have busted my, you know, I'm trying to so forth. And the next, and you didn't give me a party. He said, wait a minute, son. Don't you know that all that I had was always yours? Well, it was his, but he couldn't receive it because he never grew up. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. First Corinthians chapter 3. Let me know when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 by saying, praise the Lord. Verse 1, Paul is writing now to the Corinthian church, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto what in Christ? Babes in Christ. I have fed you with what? Milk, and not with what? Meat. Why? He says here, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to what? Bear it. Neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For where there is among you, come on, envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as what? Men. What does the Amplified say? Mere men. Mere men. Now, here's my point to you. My point to you is the brother wouldn't come in. And he came and he began to run down to the dad all these things that his brother did. He said, now, wait a minute. I got the word that he slept with prostitutes over there. See, he understand he's envious of the fact of his brother receiving what he did. He didn't rejoice that his brother was back home. He understand now. That is a carnal person. And what I'm saying is we went through the three categories of Christian or the believer's continuum, if I will, if I could say that. The first one is the natural man. The natural person is an unsaved person. That is a person who has not been born again on the inside. That person is basically under demon control. That person needs one thing, Jesus. Anything else, the enemy will try to use them with it. So they need Christ. Why? Because the first thing you get with Christ is a new nature. You get a new inside. You get a new desire to go a certain way. And you're going the wrong way, and you've been born again, and something inside of you pricks your conscience. You start to leave that riverboat alone. There, you know this, and you go back the other way and start going that way and going too far. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You better get up and over to this girl's house because you know what might happen. And see, are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now that person is born again, and they can be talked to by God because they're God's property. You follow what I'm saying? They're in God's family. So the place that we want to be is we want to be born again. And we want to make sure we're in the kingdom. That's the first step. But the next step is that we want to be developed. We just don't want to be babies. Because if we're babies and we are immature, we can't receive the inheritance even though we're the owners of the whole estate. Oh, you got to get that. All right, two places I want you to go. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 5, and also, there was another scripture. I want you to go to, Hebrews chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 first. So a carnal Christian is a person who has been born again, but never developed or grown. So there remain parts of their lives that are still under control of their flesh. And because of that, they're saved all right. They're born again, but their flesh is still controlling them, or they're still being controlled by circumstances. Now, the enemy doesn't have absolute access to their life like he does in an unsaved person, but you'll see that people get born again, and of course, they start making mistakes and so forth like that. And that's why he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now watch this. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. Are you with me? Now, if you can't turn to it, watch the board. Now, I'm giving you something today that if you just follow me, you'll feel good. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? That you may what? Grow thereby. So God is interested in your growth. Am I right about it? Okay. Now, so let's go to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5. Let me know when you get to Hebrews chapter 5. All right. You should be there because Hebrews is the next book next door. Now, are y'all watching me? Are you looking at me? Are you listening to me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you why a lot of times some Christians may be saved, but you can't trust them yet. Are you following what I'm saying? Because their flesh, if the right circumstances come along, their flesh will override what the Spirit is trying to get them to do. And you can easily quench the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a teacher, and he's now trying to tutor you into greatness. But if you let your flesh rule you, then you'll find yourself always, you know, well, I fell again. I was going at a Whole Foods. I was shopping at a Whole Foods, and I just happened to be in there because I was doing something, and I wanted to pick up me some soup or something like that. And I went in there, and this guy saw me. He said, Pastor Winston, I see you. He said, you caught me. And I played it off because I used to be a player. I said, yeah, you're right, I got you. Okay, I said, now tell me about it. Come on, tell me about it. He said, you know, I haven't been to church because after I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and everything, and I got involved in this relationship, and I just did some things, and I just couldn't come back. I said, well, wait a minute, Doc, that's not a reason not to come back. You follow what I'm saying? Now, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get his life straightened out right, see? So in that process, he might have done something and kind of stumbled. But hey, don't run from God, run to God. Because all of this, he's your father. And all of this is a process by which he patches you up and then builds you up. So when the temptation comes the next time, you will turn around. You may lose your coat. But you can keep running. You follow what I'm saying? Come on now, somebody. Say amen to that. And where that thing used to be strong and could get your life and so forth, you'll find it'll get weaker and weaker and weaker, and pretty soon you're going to be strong. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that temptation come along and you say, can't do it. Can't do it. Girl, you look good. Your hair look good. Look at you. Hallelujah. You can, yeah, but I can't do it. Give me five. You know what I mean? So, and hey, are you following what I'm saying? Because every one of us, no matter what level you are, if you got flesh on you, the enemy will come and try to tempt you with something. If you still living in this earth, he tried to tempt Jesus, and Jesus just came off a 40-day fast. And he knew he was the Son of God, but he went after him anyway. I'm saying, yes, the enemy, one of the things he tried to tempt me with is working too hard. And I really have to watch that, because I want to do things and make things happen and so forth and so on. Are you following what I'm saying? I know some folks in here don't have that problem at all. But, all right, so where was I? Where are we now? Hebrews 5. Okay. All right. I forgot Colorado. Colorado, how you doing? Praise God. God bless you. Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of what? Milk, and not what? Strong meat. What he's saying is you should be on meat, and you're still on milk. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is what? Unskillful in the word of righteousness. Keep going. For he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So in this, one of the reasons people fight the message of prosperity is that most of the organized church has been run by intellectuals, meaning that it's been run by the intellect and not by the Spirit of God. And those people are afraid of this prosperity message because basically materialism is because they call it materialism because many times it's a lack of maturity. Now, I know that some people use money and things like that and the filthy lucre and so forth the wrong way. But when you are spiritual, when you have crossed over, you're no longer carnal now. Carnal means I've developed and grown, but I'm still remain under the control of circumstances. But when I'm a spiritual person, now, I'm one who has gained ascendancy over his body and physical senses. So God can trust me with a bunch. He can trust me. Come on now. He can trust me with a mall. He can trust me with a bank. He can trust me with that. Why? I'm not going to try to lift myself up with it. I'm not going to say, hey, look at Bill and look how big I am. Man, you know you better look at me. I'm big. Hey, not never, never. I'm here as much as possible. I'll see people, visit with people, pray with people, so forth. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying that he will deliver to you based on your level of maturity. Because that stuff, prosperity, will ruin a fool. And that's what the Bible says. And a fool is one who won't follow instructions. They're following their flesh versus following their spirit. And I'm telling you, there is something when I don't feel like getting up in the morning, my flesh says, stay in that bed. My spirit says, you better get up and pray. My flesh said, don't do it this morning. Just give it a break. Just, you know, and I'll be up, man, and I go in and I look in the mirror in the bathroom, I start talking to myself and so forth, and telling my flesh, get under. Because Paul said, don't put your flesh under, keep it under. Paul said, I keep my flesh under, because the flesh still thinks it's boss. It still thinks it can do things that it wants to do. But you gonna have to do something with that banana cream pie. You gonna have to, come on, I don't know why I picked that. Somebody, I called somebody right there. I'm reading your mail right over here somewhere. All right. But you got to say amen to that. Where you want to go off on somebody, or where you want to give him a piece of your mind, that's probably all you got. But it says, but my point to you is, that's when you have to control yourself. It says the love of Christ constrains me. What does that mean? The word Christ means anointed one and his anointing. You see, the love for the anointing causes me not to go off on you. Because when I do that, the anointing lifts off of me. Now I'm protected. So what I got to do, are y'all with me here? All right, so now what we said is that it basically, it's a function of the teaching that we have had. That the quality of intake determines the strength of the output. That we've got to go from milk to meat. And that we have got to get a word that being given to us so that we can be strong and be able to go forward. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Now, when we do that, if you will, come over here with me to Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers chapter 13. We're growing up now. Say growing up. All right, growing up. Numbers chapter 13. Glory to God. Numbers chapter 13. And after that, we're going to Mark chapter 4. Just remember that, if you will. Praise God. Numbers chapter 13. Are you with me? Say praise the Lord if you're there. All right. Now, in this, I said the organized church, for the most part, has been run by man's intelligence. Intelligence. Now, this organized church, here's an example of that. Now, we're preaching something here, and they call it preaching theology. And that's fine. You can call it whatever you want, hermeneutic, whatever have you, and all those things are good. But we're going to have to preach based upon the Spirit of God, the Word of God to develop us, rather than preach what's intellectually acceptable. Now, are you with me here? Now, I'm saying this because you and I were designed basically to operate as the church without limits. In other words, we have come into the earth at this time for the impossible. The world is moving into places that have problems now that intellect cannot solve. Now, I'm not coming against your university and all the money you pay for your education. So just get me right. No, don't get it, okay? But I'm here to tell you, God is no longer asking us to do ordinary things that you and I have come into a time called impossibilities. Glory to God, I'm preaching now. This is where we are. The Bible tells us who we are, what we have, where we are, and what we can do. Not the world, not our flesh, not any kind of book that you can pick up that's trying to still define you and what you can do, and then tell you that you and the church and the state are fighting each other and so forth. Hey, if it wasn't for the church, there'd be no state. And everything that seems impossible in your life is now a faith project. Everything. Everything now, we're not bringing you up for the ordinary. You are no longer ordinary. We are now manifesting the sons of God. We are now what the world has been waiting for. Don't look at your background. Don't look at what you did, bad and bad, so forth and so on. Now you are a new creature in Christ. There has been a new heart in you. Now you can have the mind of Christ. You can think God's thoughts. You can go big instead of small. You can make it happen now instead of being in a court battle for a year. I'm saying the things that God has, where the medical science said we can't do nothing from you, for you, let a believer in the room and let us come in there. And I'm saying this is your time. Now, for me to get you there, I can't preach anything that's intellectually acceptable. I've got to preach over your head so that you have to jump to get it. I'm saying that we're going to grow you up and take you up to a place that you never thought you could operate. I'm saying a place where you cannot climb the mountain, but speak to the mountain and it will obey you. Now, let's look at this. Boy, I didn't mean to preach that hard. I'm preaching too hard. All right. Y'all with me? Who? All right, let's just look at this. Now we're coming in this thing, and now we're learning some things that we've never understood before, that God is teaching us some things, and the Holy Spirit is tutoring you through me right now. And even while I'm talking, He's talking to you. That's why you're getting excited, because He's igniting something inside of you. And all of a sudden, you're seeing some new possibilities. I said, you're seeing some new possibilities. Come on now. And when you see it, you walk like it. You start smiling. Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, it gives you a rest inside. Because you're up in what I call the zone. How many of y'all want to get into the zone? I mean, this is... All right, we're going to look at this, and then we're going to look at Mark chapter 10. Look what it says here. They came back. Watch this, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, what did they do? They went out and spied out the land of Canaan, the promised land. Now, notice what God didn't do. He didn't let all the children of Israel see it. That was 3 million. But he sent out 12, and the 12 were preachers. And I know they were preachers because they came back to the congregation. And they began to speak. Now, verse 27, and they told him and said, "We came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." They showed him evidence of it. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Now, this is bad news. Say bad news.
Bad news.
"And the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Boy, they put everybody in there. They didn't let them. They wanted, I'm telling you, you know, folk with bad news, boy, I'm telling you, they want you to get all of it. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm watching television or something, and a commercial comes on, and man, I'm telling you, and they'll ask you a question. "Are you having a heart attack?" I mean, they won't. This thing has gotten so bad now. Really. Are you following what I'm saying? But, you know, I done got so now I answer them. No! Hey, bless God. All right, I shouldn't be talking that TV, so I should turn that thing off. Okay, all right, but notice what they're doing now. They're talking about intellectually what they can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell. And that's a zone that you don't want to be, because there's no faith in that zone. And when you have no faith, you can be defeated. Are you following what I'm saying? No natural man can defeat the devil. None. And I'm saying here, they gave him something that was intellectually acceptable, and the people gravitated towards it. Look at the next verse, verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are what?'" We are what? We are what? He didn't say we are able. What did he say? We are well able to overcome it. Now, listen here. Shonda. Let's go to two places. Let's go to Mark chapter 10 first, and then let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 10, and then Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 10, and then Mark chapter 5. My goodness. Mark chapter 4, chapter 5, okay. All right. Chapter 10. Let me know. I'm just going to read one verse. You with me? All right, look at verse 27. "And Jesus, looking upon them, said, 'With men, come on, it is impossible.'" Keep going. "But not with God." Keep going. "For with God, all things are possible." I don't care what you got going. My question to you is, are you with God? Because I don't care. The enemy can shoot his best shot. But if I'm with God, he's out. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I want you to get something. I'm going to say something here, and I want you to get it and take it the right way. The enemy wants to keep you separate from your inheritance. Why? Because he's occupying it. He's on the land that God has given you. He is illegal, and you are to dispossess him. He's on your healing. It's yours. God wants you to have it. He's on your peace in your house. It's yours. God wants you to have it. He's on your relationship. God wants you to have it. Come on now. He's on your money. God says you're supposed to be rich, not in debt and owing everybody in town and fearful about being dropped off. I'm just saying, he's on your land. I want my stuff, and I want it now. Now, his trick is to keep you separate from your inheritance. And one of the ways he does that, of course, is this diet that we're on. But he knows the best way he can get you to really cause you to be defeated is to act in your own strength. To act in your own strength. He's trying to separate you from your faith. He's trying to make it so that you act on your own intellect, you act on your own degree, you act on your own. I'm not saying those things are not good, but let me tell you something. Our job is to believe that God will do His job. Oh, man. God deals with us in such a way that everything from our human nature, everything that is issues from the natural fallen man is not wanted by God or desired by God. Now, you hear what I'm saying? He wants everything that you bring into the kingdom to be submitted to the Holy Ghost. Come on now, because some people think because there were great orators out there that they come into the kingdom are great orators in here. Not if you don't submit it to the Holy Ghost, because the enemy will take that ability and pervert it. There's a scripture in Galatians 2:20. Some of you may know it with me. I am crucified with Christ. Keep going. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God deals with us in such a way that everything from our human nature, from the outside, will be put under God's control. And that He doesn't want anything that comes from the outside. In other words, we're the body of Christ. We're like Eve was to Adam. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 5 compares it that way. Well, we're His body. But Eve didn't come from the ground. Eve came from Adam. God doesn't want anything that came from the outside of Him. He wants everything that you use to come from Him. In other words, if you got it, you got to submit it to Him and let Him sanctify it for you, because if that doesn't happen, the enemy will try to use it to try to pervert something with it. Are you with me with what I'm saying here? Y'all with me? See, with that, now I can understand this verse. With God, all things are possible. Turn with me. Exodus, where did I tell you I was going to turn you next? Mark 4, 5. Okay, hold on, Mark 5. Let that go. Turn to Exodus chapter 4, real quick. I'm almost done. Don't move. Stay where you're at. God's got a word for you. It might be a billionaire word that He's going to give to you. You never can tell. Might be a word for your healing. Might be a word for your marriage. Don't move. Don't run out on Him. Look what it says here. This is when God's calling Moses to deliver the children of Israel. Verse 10. Have you got it? Say, praise the Lord. And Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am what of speech? I am slow of speech, and what? I can't talk." And the Lord said to him, come on, help me. "Who has made your mouth, man?" See, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying, see, people many times don't think they can be used because they didn't have all these skills that so forth and so on. But God can put one anointing on you. Come on now. What you didn't know 1 minute, you will know the next minute. You see, you got to hear what I'm saying. He can make you, He can increase you academically sitting up in here. He can increase you practically sitting up in here. In other words, you never did this in your life. You got to fix a carburetor on a car. You got to fix a repair television. Oh, well, you've never done that in your life. Do you know God? God it on you right now. Boop! And you will fix that TV. I remember looking at a movie, and I'm not trying to get you to go to the movies. I remember looking at a movie called Matrix when it first came out. I ain't talking about them next ones because they were all messed. But the first one. And I'm telling you, the helicopter came down. And he told her, he said, "Do you know how to fly that helicopter?" She said, "Well, I don't right now, but just a minute." Hello? Downroad helicopter. Helicopter. Okay, yep, I got it. Let's go. Took off. Hey! That was a revelation. God can drop an academic anointing on you. You can solve problems you've never been able to solve before. See, we're busy trying to limit God because of the fallen nature of man. Yeah. You're trying to bring God down and tell God what he can do. He can do exceeding abundantly, watch this, above. Hallelujah. Oh, I can ask. Hallelujah. Or think. You can't even think it. If you can think it, he can do it. We're coming into the time of impossibilities. You have been made for this time. He is going to manifest the sons of God. Has nothing to do with gender. We're talking about maturity. You're the ones. I said, you're the ones. I believe we are going to wrap it up. He's going to show the world who he is through you. Now, there are some people that they may not be excited about this, but it's because Satan has messed with their mind so much until they still can't think. They got a stronghold there, still trying to make something out of this. Well, that preacher's getting them all hyped up and so forth. Well, just sit there and just watch our dust, because we moving. We're going to do some stuff. God's going to get the glory. He's going to take the foolish things and confound the wise. Say amen to that. All you got to do is call me up and get the download. I said, call me up. Isn't that a song we used to sing in the Baptist church? Call him up and you can get him when you want, or something like that. Let me come over here, because there's some believers. There's a believer over here somewhere. Looking at the news the other day, and I saw where the police were chasing this person down the expressway. I guess they were a drug dealer or something, and they start throwing money out the window. How many of y'all saw that? Yeah. And start throwing money out the window. And I'm telling you, cars were slamming on brakes, and they were throwing thousands of dollars out the window. Now, people look at that and say, well, look at that. You know what I looked at it and said? There's a believer in there somewhere. There's a believer back. They got to give it up. The wealth of the wicked got to come out. Got to get out of that window. There's a believer there somewhere. With me to 2 Corinthians and chapter 10, please. 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. I'm almost done. I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Y'all got me going all over the place here. Second Corinthians chapter 10, come on. Ooh, Lord. There's a believer in there somewhere. They had to get rid of that money. Come on out of there. Money cometh. Now, you have never seen that before. I have never seen it, where they gonna chase somebody down the street and they gonna throw the money out the window. And I mean, cars were slamming on brakes. They out there getting that money. I said, there's a believer out there somewhere. Praise God. All right, look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number of compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves, keep going, among themselves are what? Are not wise. What is possible for you is not based on what somebody else has done. So stop thinking like that. Say amen to this. You are made for the impossible. Last place, over to Mark what? Chapter 5. Look at Mark chapter 5. Glory to God. Mark chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. So everything that seems impossible in your life is nothing but a faith project. Okay? And Satan's major strategy is to try to get you to operate on the level of a natural man. That's his major strategy. Folks, when it looks impossible, don't get nervous. Get faith. And do away with the devil. Last thing. Jesus comes to the other side, and he runs up on a man that's a demoniac, out of his mind. The Bible says they tried to chain him, and he broke the chains, and all these kinds of things. Verse 7. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me what? Not. Now look at verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and did what to him? Verse 8. And Jesus said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked, what is thy name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are what? Many. And besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now here's a demon. And notice what he did. The power of Jesus and the consciousness that Jesus had of his superiority drove this demon to his knees. And this demon was no match for Jesus. That demon was busy crying for his life. Now, didn't Jesus say, the things that I did do, shall you do also? Say amen to that. So my question is, what kind of word have we gotten? Because it has reflected our ability to dominate and to subdue this earth. The quality of our intake has determined the strength of our output. You're no longer a natural man. I decree that you're no longer living as a carnal man. I decree that you are a spiritual man, that you are one who has gained ascendancy over your body and over your physical senses, over the circumstances, over anything that the devil will throw at your life. And when things happen, it's going to be just like they did with Jesus when he stopped that storm and told that sea to peace be still. They're going to say the same thing about you. What manner of man or woman is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got today. All right. Don't leave yet. Be spiritual and wait on other people to get saved. Okay? Now, if you have to go, I understand. But if you don't have to go and you're just trying to feed your belly or doing something like that, then you need to put that thing under control. Did you get something out of that today? Folks, we're moving into some uncharted waters here. You wait till I preach on the vengeance of the Lord. I got to get you strong enough to be able to handle that. If you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, realize that that's why you came. For you to come in here and go out the same way you came is a foolish act, especially when your life can be totally turned around with one decision. Most people make wrong decisions all their lives. That's why they end up in some of the wrong places, because life is a series of decisions. This is a decision that I'm asking you to make today. I'm asking you to make a decision.